along. While you are reading along with the cassette, you will hear the following tone at the end of each page. This is a reminder to go on to the next page and continue reading. We hope you enjoy the story.
From Jonathan Harker's diary.
I had come here on business, but what I found has scared me beyond belief. I am locked in. The only way out is through the windows. These may be my last words. This castle is my prison, but I must escape and warn the people of London about Count Dracula. It was a long trip in which my business company sent me from the busy London of the 1890s to the wild Carpathian mountains of Transylvania. On May 31, I reached Bistritz, last stop before Castle Dracula.
Are you the Englishman?
Yes, I am Jonathan Harker.
Welcome. Count Dracula has told us how to help you.
A seat had been saved for me and the Bukovina coach, leaving the next morning. But at the last minute, the innkeepers tried to keep me from leaving.
But it is St. George's Eve.
At midnight, the dead rise. Evil has full power. Wait a day.
When I told them that my business could not be put off, the good woman made me wear her cross.
Wear it for your mother's sake.
I had read that every known superstition in the world comes from the Carpathian Mountains. The people are kind, but ignorant and superstitious. That sign again. What is it?
A charm against the evil eye.
That night, we came to the Borgo Pass, where Count Dracula's private coach was to meet me. At the meeting, the other passengers became very nervous. But I was only thankful to be nearing the end of my trip.
Mr. Harker, the Count is waiting for you. I will take your bags. Or dog.
Blakoslak. God help us.
I must have fallen asleep and dreamed, for the trip was like a nightmare. The carriage seemed surrounded by howling wolves. The horses were scared. Then the driver got down, waved his arm, and the wolves turned around and ran. I must have dreamed. A man cannot control wolves. We're here.
If you'll get down, Mr. Harker.
Empty. No bell. No knocker. No lights. Am I still dreaming? Suddenly, there were rattling chains and the clanking of large locks. Count Dracula.
Enter freely and of your own will. I am Dracula. Welcome to my house. Come freely. Go safely and leave something of the happiness you bring.
His grip is as strong as steel. And as cold as ice.
Come in. You must be chilled and hungry.
The fire and food were welcome sights and did away with my fears.
Please be seated and eat. I have eaten already.
Thank you. Here are the papers from Mr. Hawkins. After I gave him the papers from Hawkins, I felt my trip was finished. I was very tired.
Good. Excellent. And he says that you will follow my wishes.
Oh, yes, certainly, sir. The sun was setting. I could hear the howling of wolves nearby.
Listen, the children of the night. What music they make. You people who live in the city do not understand the thrill of the hunter.
No, I can only feel sorry for the poor animal being hunted.
Come, your bedroom is ready. Sleep as late as you wish tomorrow. I must be away. Sleep well and dream well.
Thank you, Count. So began my stay at Castle Dracula. I thought strange things, but was too tired to know what was real and what I only dreamed. The next day I found a cold breakfast waiting for me. Strange. Everything is ready, but no servant. In the room next to the dining room, I found a library with a good English section, even including railway guides and local maps. But all day I saw no one, heard nothing but the wolves outside. The castle seemed empty.
You should now be on page 14.
The Count returned, and again dinner was served. But still no servant. And Dracula did not eat anything. Afterward, we talked about Carfax Abbey, the property bought for Dracula in London.
I'm glad that it is old and big. To live in a new house would kill me.
The chapel is here.
I'm happy that there is an old chapel. We Draculas do not like our bones to lie with the common dead. We are a proud and old people. The blood of Attila flows in my veins. We Draculas have defeated many people. We are proud and love war.
You might say we are bloodthirsty.
But come, my friend. Write to your employer and say that you shall stay with me for a month.
You wish me to stay so long?
I will not take no for an answer. Did not Hawkins say that you would follow my wishes?
What could I do but stay? I was there on business for Mr. Hawkins, not on my own. The days passed. I looked through many rooms of the castle, but I saw no living person, and always came to a locked door. There was no exit. Another strange thing was that I could find no mirrors in the castle. It's a good thing I brought my own shaving mirror. One evening, Dracula came up behind me without my hearing.
Good evening, friend Harker.
Count Dracula. And also unseen. But I can't see him in the mirror.
I frightened you. You've cut yourself.
Suddenly, the Count's eyes filled with fury, and he grabbed my throat.
There is blood on your throat.
But, sir, it is nothing.
A cross.
At sight of the landlady's gift, Dracula's strange fury passed.
Be careful how you cut yourself. It is dangerous in this country. It is this terrible thing that has caused the cut. Away with it.
Count Dracula, no! And my mirror shattered into a thousand pieces on the rocks far below. Time passed in this lonely nighttime way of living. Keeping my diary was one of the things I did. Is the Count a madman, or am I? Practically, I am his prisoner, with no way out and no communication with the outside world. Perhaps soon, when a month is up, he will send me safely on my way. Often, I stood at the open window of my prison, breathing fresh air and looking over the countryside. Then, one night, something is climbing on the wall. It is Dracula climbing down the wall. I went to bed with fear in my heart. What manner of man is this? Or what manner of beast that looks like a man? It will make me feel better to have the old lady's cross nearby. I slept. Then suddenly awoke. There was bright moonlight and a feeling that I was not alone. I lay still, unable to move.
Go on. You are first, and I shall follow.
He is young and strong,
There is blood enough for all.
As if under a magic spell, I could not move. I watched these strange women come closer from under my eyelids. My throat. If only I could reach the cross. Suddenly, as if from nowhere.
How dare you touch him when I have told you not to? Back! This man belongs to me.
But are we to have nothing?
Good. He sleeps. I promise you shall have him when I am done with him tomorrow.
Horror overcame me, and I passed out. When I opened my eyes again, it was daylight, and I was alone. When the people back in the village spoke of Vokushak, vampires, I thought they were superstitious and ignorant. God help me, I was the one who was ignorant. Now I know the Count wants me to die today. I was without hope. Anything was better than sitting and waiting for death. If only I can reach another part of the castle, perhaps I can find an unlocked door to the outside. I remembered the sound of the mirror smashing on the rocks and was careful not to look down. If I am careful, it goes inch by inch. A stairway. Perhaps this leads down and out. The chapel where the Count's ancestors are buried. But someone has been working here not long ago. Send to Count Dracula, Carfax Abbey, London, England. What does he mean to do? Suddenly, his plan was clear. I was helping to move this horrible vampire to London, where for centuries he might drink the blood from its helpless millions. I picked up the only weapon around. But a person can't kill the undead with just a shovel. Though he was asleep, the Count's eyes seemed to stop me, and the shovel dropped from my hands. I cannot strike. There was no way out of the chapel, but the way I had come in. There was no escape down the wall. Death was better than staying as Dracula's prisoner. I must take my chances and pray that it is not too far down. After climbing down the castle wall, there was a long period of time when nothing was clear. I must have wandered for a long time. There were times when I just passed out and remembered nothing. At other times, I fought with all kinds of beasts. Wolves and giant bats and ghost women fought for my blood. At times, an angel of mercy seemed to drive the monsters away. And then one day, I opened my eyes and found myself in bed in a strange room with a nurse standing nearby. Where am I?
You are in a hospital in Budapest. You have been ill, but now, God be praised, you are better.
I felt very weak and mixed up. Sir, what happened? How did I come here? I can't remember.
You must not try to remember. You must relax and keep calm and grow strong again.
I was surprised to learn that I had been ill for nearly 6 weeks. I knew that my friends and Mr. Hawkins must be worried, and the nurse wrote to them at once. To Miss Mina Murray and to Mr. Peter Hawkins.
We were worried that we did not know how to let your friends know sooner.
Mina came to me as quickly as boat and train could bring her, and it was a happy day when we were together again. Mina.
Jonathan, my dearest.
Years later, Mina told me of the warning that the doctor gave her.
He has had a very bad shock, which caused brain fever. Be careful that nothing else like this excites him for a long time to come. He will probably be weak for a long time.
This warning made her ready to agree to my wishes about my diary. I don't know whether the things written here are real or the ideas of a madman. I can't remember them. I don't want to read them. But I have a feeling it should not be destroyed. Will you keep it?
I will put it away and hope we never will need to look at it again.
We were married almost at once by the English minister. It was not the wedding we had planned, but still a beautiful and happy event.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
You should now be on page 24.
It was still a few weeks before I could leave the hospital and return to England. To fill my mind, Mina told me of what had happened to her while I was away.
You've often heard me speak of my dear friend, Lucy Westenraw. Lucy and her mother were vacationing in Whitby and invited me to join them there. It's such a lovely place.
I had visited the seaside town of Whitby myself, and I could picture the two girls there.
The first day we walked around the village and found what became our favorite spot.
We sat there often, Mina said, and talked of you and Lucy's fiancé, Arthur Holmwood.
We had one problem. Lucy began to walk in her sleep. She hadn't done that since she was a child. Lucy, dear! Lucy's mother asked me to lock our bedroom door at night and keep the key.
Her father did the same thing. I am so afraid she will have an accident and hurt herself.
She's excited about her coming wedding and she misses Arthur. One night there was a terrible storm. Nobody slept. That ship!
It will crash on the rocks!
But the ship did not land on the rocks. Instead, it was found on the sandy beach. At the moment it hit...
Look! A great dog!
More like a wolf!
The safe landing seemed even more strange when it was learned that it was steered by the hand of a dead man.
Dead? And for days, I'd say.
And not another person on board.
The captain's log, read at the investigation, told the story of a terrible voyage.
July 6th. Finished taking in cargo. Silver sand and boxes of earth. Ship Demeter sailed from Karna at noon. Crew, 5 men, 2 officers, and myself, captain. July 16th. Mate reported one of the crew, Petrovsky, missing. Could not explain it. Crew upset. July 24th. Entering Bay of Biscay. Last night, another man lost. Took crew and searched ship. Found nothing among cargo of stacked coffin-like boxes.
We've searched from stem to stern, and there's no one else aboard.
July 29. Second mate is missing, and crew is afraid. They believe there is an evil person aboard.
It is here! He is here! Save me! Save me!
July 30. Last night we slept soundly. Awakened by mate telling me that both man of watch and steersman missing. Only self and mate are left. August 1. Had hoped to land somewhere to port, but we are surrounded by a mysterious fog. Mate seems to be going mad. August 3. Still fog.
running before wind as mate and I could not handle sails alone. At midnight, mate ran to me on deck, a raging madman. Before I could move to grab him, the mate threw himself into the sea. Stop, man!
The sea will save me from him. It is all that is left.
I have seen him, and the mate is right. But I am captain and must not leave my ship. I am growing weak. I shall tie my hands to the wheel and hold this cross. He will not dare touch it.
Weeks had passed while Mina told me what had happened. At first, she could visit me only a short time each day, but I got better quickly. Soon, I could walk to the balcony and sit in the sun.
The outcome of the investigation was an open one. The mystery could not be solved. But to the Whitby folk, the poor captain who brought his ship and cargo safe to port was a hero.
And the dog?
The dog disappeared into the darkness and was never seen again, though many people looked for it and wanted to help it.
Strange. But Mina, at that time, was having more important problems. My long absence was still a mystery, and Lucy was sleepwalking.
Lucy? She isn't here. And the door key is gone. Her clothes are all here. She didn't dress. She can't have gone far. Quietly, I looked through the house, but could not find her. And the outside door was open. I threw on a robe and rushed out. She'll be chilled. I'll take a wrap. But where can she be? There was not a soul in sight. I ran along the walk, but could see no sign of the white figure I looked for. Could she possibly have gone to our favorite seat? I don't know where else to look. Yes, she is there, and there is someone or something behind her. I ran as hard as I could and I called out. Not a soul in sight. And Lucy is still asleep. She was breathing in long, heavy breaths, and her throat seemed to hurt her. Poor dear, she must be chilled. I tied the blanket at her throat with a safety pin to leave my hand free, and gently awoke her and led her home.
Oh, Mina, where am I? What did I do?
We'll soon be home, dear. The next morning, when we awoke, Lucy seemed well, but I was worried when I saw two tiny red marks like pinpricks on her throat. Oh, Lucy, your throat! How clumsy! I must have stuck you with the pin last night.
It's nothing at all. I can't even feel it.
We spent a happy day, though for me not quite perfect.
What wonderful weather.
In this air, I eat like a greedy person.
Bravo!
Bravo! Bravo! Bravo!
If only Jonathan were here. I thought Lucy would sleep soundly that night. Nevertheless, I locked our door and tied the key to my wrist. Suddenly, I awoke.
The window! The window!
She is still sleeping. A great bat! But I have frightened it away.
You should now be on page 32.
The next morning, Lucy was pale and without energy. But a letter in the morning mail lifted her spirits.
It's from Arthur. He is coming here. He wants us to be married at once. I am so happy for you, my dear.
But at that time, I was even more interested in my own letters. News from Jonathan at last. Oh, he has been ill. He is in Budapest. Mr. Hawkins will send me to him at once.
And so Mina's story of our being apart had a happy ending with our marriage and my return to health. And we left the hospital and Budapest with thanks to the kind people there. Goodbye, and all my thanks.
I hope I can care for him as well as you have done.
Good luck and all happiness.
God bless you both.
As the train neared London, I was happy to be there. I had been away a long time. Almost home. Mr. Hawkins wrote that he would meet us with his carriage.
I am eager to hear about Lucy and her wedding plans.
After dinner, Mr. Hawkins had a surprise for us.
My dears, your health and success. I've known you both from childhood. Now I want you to make your home here with me. I am all alone, and in my will, I have left you everything.
It was a happy evening. We could hardly offer our thanks, but perhaps Mr. Hawkins had had a warning. For 3 nights later, he died suddenly in his sleep. It was a shocking blow.
Let us pray for our dear departed friend.
To help us forget, we walked home from the funeral. Suddenly on the crowded street, my God, it is the man himself. Do you see?
No, dear, I don't know him.
I felt ill, dizzy and shaken. I might have fallen if Mina had not helped me to a nearby bench. I believe it is the Count, but he has grown young. My God, if this is true, if I only knew.
Oh, my dear, you are ill again. I'll call a cab and take you home.
They say troubles never come alone. When we reached home, we found a telegram for Mina.
No, it can't be true.
You will be grieved to hear that Mrs. Westerner died 5 days ago and that Lucy died the day before yesterday, both to be buried tomorrow. Van Helsing.
It was good that I had so much business to look after. There was no time to worry. Before leaving the next morning, I asked Mina to do something. My dear, will you get out my diary and read it today?
Your diary? Of that terrible time?
Yes, the time has come. You must help me decide, was I mad or sane?
Of course, if it's what you really wish. Poor Jonathan. Was it brain fever or is what he writes true? These things seem connected. That fearful Count was coming to London and Jonathan was so sure he saw him yesterday. If only there were someone we could ask for help. But who would believe that Jonathan was not mad?
At that very moment, an important letter arrived for Mina.
From the foreign doctor who took care of Lucy. He has read my letters to her and knows of our troubles. He wants to see me. It's like an answer to a prayer. I'll ask him to come tonight. He is worried about what happened to Lucy, but still he might help us.
Stop your recorder and turn the cassette over to complete the story.